Welcome to a Catalyst for Change podcast, where we are a catalyst to inspire compassion among people, promote collaboration with leaders, and build capacity for programming.
Hi, everyone. My name is Carolyn Franson. I am the programming coordinator with Support After Abortion, and I am so excited to have all of you here with us today on our Catalyst for Change interview. And I am so lucky to interview this wonderful lady here who is with us. This is Wendy Giancola. She is an author of a after abortion curriculum called Transforming Your Story. I have the book right here. She also works at a local pregnancy center as the restoration arm in Washington, D.C., but I will let her take that and explain a little bit of her background. So welcome, Wendy. How are you?
I'm good, Carolyn. I'm so excited to be here with you today, to have time to talk with you. This is exciting for me.
Great. So I guess before we begin, would you like to give us a little background, kind of how you got into this, like a little bit about yourself, your family, things like that?
Okay. Sure. So currently my role at the Capitol Hill Pregnancy Center is I am the director of pregnancy loss there, and that includes abortion recovery and restoration and aftercare and things like that. And a little bit, I guess, about me, how I even got into this field in the first place. Like many of us who are in this field, I had an abortion myself when I was 19, as my first year in college. And promptly shoved that down, dissociated from that, stuffed it, didn't deal with it for many, many years, other than, you know, the various ugly symptoms that come about when you shove it down, don't deal with it. And after many, many years, and eventually beginning to go to church, I ended up in abortion healing recovery myself. And after healing and recovery, was invited to volunteer at the pregnancy center, was doing after abortion care. And when the person who was doing it retired after just a few months, it came to me, and I took on that role and have been doing that since, 10, 11 years. Wow.
When you think back on it, right? How time flies.
Yes. It's been 11 years. So really blessed to be doing this and to be able to just walk with women for so long, and just to see the restoration and the transformation has been such an amazing journey for me. And I will just definitely need to give a little shout out to my very supportive husband who, has walked this with me. So yay. And I say that because I know you have a very supportive husband also.
Ooh,
we have great husbands.
We do. We're so lucky. They're good.
Yes.
So good. Well, thank you, Wendy. And just like you said, you know, we all start on this journey one way or another and end up to this place. And so my next question, like I mentioned, you are an author of your own after abortion care healing book, Transforming Your Story. And so this is something, so I have had the opportunity of meeting Wendy in person, and knowing her, and being around her, and just you just exude just this peace, right? And for me, your book was the first book, healing book, that I ever did, period. Definitely, I began my healing journey with the after abortion care, obviously, is where it began, but there's been so much since then. But this was like my introduction, was your book. And so it holds a very special place in my heart. It's so good, as many others are, but just for me in my personal journey, this really speaks to that's why I'm so excited to be here talking about it today. So all these questions that I have are definitely things that I've thought about. And so how do you even begin, or where did you begin to think, I'm going to write an after abortion care curriculum? I heard a little bit of your passion in helping others, as you explained, but where did that come from? Like, what was your motivation?
God. And I always laugh when people ask this question, because I think it's kind of a surprising answer, because I was very much Jonah. So I you know, when I first took on this role to do the work I'm doing, there's so many fabulous books and curriculums out there, like you just mentioned, so many good ones out there. And so, but I didn't know that at the time. So I started researching and trying to find what I felt would really, what really resonated with me the most and would fit our population the best. And really was struggling to find just that wow. Again, many really great things, and you know, but it was just something, but I wasn't sure what. And so I remember my director and I went to a conference, one of the first conferences for abortion recovery. This was way back when Operation Octopi was doing them. And somebody prophesied to her that a book was going to come from our center. And I remember when she told me that, I wasn't with her at the time when they said that, I said to her, good luck with that. Good luck with that. That wasn't going to come from me, right? Yeah. And so continued on with, what do I, just trying to do, use whatever and, you know, put things together when I, the best I could. And, but wasn't terribly successful with getting, being able to help a lot of people. And another person came to our center one day. It was just my director was there and I was there. We were the only ones there. And this person, this woman who claimed she was with the city but has never come back again, Kane was talking to my director. And when she saw me come into the room, she said, let's pray. And her prayer was, she, in her prayer, in our prayer time, she began to prophesy. And again, looked at me and she started talking about this book that was going to come from the center, that was going to come. And I'm like, oh my, and we're all weeping and all that. And she said to me directly, and I said, who am I? I don't know if I know what I'm doing. And I remember very clearly, she said, God is no respecter of person. He will use who he will use. That was so hard to hear, but yet good. Anyway, so after that, ideas just started coming to me and my own journey. I had previously gone also through a 12-step recovery journey. I needed that as a result of my abortion. And I had all kinds of addiction issues and codependency issues. So started my own 12-step journey. And so that was a part of it. I had been previously in the mental health field before that. And so just different things started coming to me, yet I still wasn't sure. I still was like, I don't think this is me, God. I'm going to Tarshish. I was like Jonah, right? So a week later to the day, I was involved in quite a car accident that kept me homebound for like 5-6 months from, you know, many months. And so what do you do when you are homebound? You do a lot of reading, researching, and you finally say, okay, God, you win.
I guess I'll start writing this.
Right? I guess I'll start researching and writing. And so there you go.
Wow.
Long story, well, but there you go.
Hey, long, but so intentional. I mean, because that's what it was for you, right? It was this long, almost like struggle, like, no, not me, God. I can't, you know, I can't do this. I'm not, why me? You know, I love when you say that. I've had similar things even in my journey where I'm like, really, you want me to get up and talk in front of these people? I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I want to do that. So I definitely can relate to a little bit to that feeling, not writing, but definitely that. And so I know you talked about, you went through other, a 12-step program and other things that resulted from pushing that abortion experience down and probably other things as well. So in writing this, it's like, I can hear that you want to help people, but what was that like to write that? Was there a healing or a release for you as well in writing it? Like even after you had already gone through other healing experiences or books, have you?
Well, that's a great question. Yes, because it so led me into diving into the stories of the scripture. And, you know, what I definitely know about myself, and I think this is true of others as well, but definitely for myself, I think the 12-step journey helped me see this too, that I resonate more with story than anything else. Mm. And my own healing comes when I can see and experience and relate to other stories. Mm-hmm. Just the power of story, and especially for me, the power of story in scripture, because I think, you know, like the first, some of the things I've gone through, you know, that I can easily stay in my head and do what I call paper and pencil healing, right? Where it's all, yes, I can answer that question. I can read this and respond to this. I can do the intellectual answer, but am I really going inward to see it and feel it and relate to it? And I do that much more with story. And, you know, when I hear others share, then I can dive into, yeah, first of all, me too, because we all have this need to belong, right? And so it's that need to belong. And so it kind of brings that in, and to realize I belong in the greater story of scripture too, right? The greatest story, the bigger story, I belong, because I have just as much issues as they do. They have as many issues as I do, right? And it was just this, it created such a sense of, for me, relating and belonging. And I'm my guess is that I'm not the only person that resonates like that. There must be other people as well. There are some people who are better and are much more intellectual, and that's their thing. And that's mm-hmm. awesome. And that's where they're going to find the healing. I think there's, you know, God's created us all so differently, but that's what worked for me. And so that, I think, created such a passion in me from that.
Yeah, because I know it, and yeah, thank you. I mean, at Support After Abortion, we're always talking about like different healing journeys, and everyone's looks different, and everyone comes to and understands things and things in a different way. And I'm very much like you, where the hearing stories and talking to people and being in that group was, you know, God knew that's what I needed, even though I didn't know I needed that. And mm-hmm. so, cause he understands us to our absolute, you know, core and what we need to learn. And so I just was always wondering if, as you're writing a curriculum, if that's a healing experience in itself as well. And it sounds absolutely, definitely when you're trapped in your home, right? And you're homebound and you only have your husband to talk to every, you know, for so often. I couldn't imagine being stuck in my home. So being able to really have that time with God too, and writing the story, I had to wonder what an experience. So thank you for sharing that.
Up to me for COVID.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess we've all kind of, you know, we all have been kind of stuck in our homes, right? And so we've all got a little bit of an experience of what you did, but you were also healing on top of it from that horrible car accident, which luckily that you're doing well now. So, so those personal stories, where did they come from? Are these people that you interviewed? Are these people that you knew personally as your personal story in there? I mean, I don't know, just some of those things that I was wondering.
Yeah, good question again. Especially so if people who aren't familiar with the book, just to real quick lay out. So it's, I think that was the other big thing that was important to me, is that we need to hear, again, I need to hear more than just one voice and one experience. I need to hear a cacophony of different experiences and not just one. And really, if you look at some of the 12-step literature, you see many of the books will have lots of member stories. And so that was an important element for me, is to have what I call member stories, or, you know. So the book is laid out where there's the chapter, the guidebook, where you go through and you look at the stories and you relate your own story. But then there's also a personal, real, modern day woman's story or experience or feedback in between every chapter to be able to give. And I really was intentional with using a multitude of voices. I didn't want just one or two people speaking into that. And every single one of those women are women that I know personally, many of whom actually went through a journey through this with me, you know, because once I started writing it, I had started, you have to use it yourself and see if it works. So many of these, so I shouldn't say this, if any of you are watching, yes, you were kind of guinea pigs in a way, who went through this healing process and was able to truly speak to each thing. And so what I did with every woman who did, who went through a journey, I asked them, what aspect of the journey was most meaningful to you? And is that what you, and when they would tell me, I would say, would you speak on that for the book? And because that's one of my favorite questions. And I will ask that of you, whether now or later, what was the most meaningful aspect of the journey? Because I think everybody has something, whether it's with this book or a different book or whatever, everybody has some meaningful aspect of their healing journey. And so then I just ask them to speak into that.
And what cool, and what a great way for you to hear that feedback, right? And know that these are the things that are coming out of, you know, this book that God has led you to write from your own experience. And because ultimately it is hearing the freedom that comes in other people's lives. I know from knowing you, that's a passion we both have as others, to find freedom and be able to break free from these bonds and ultimately to have a relationship with the Lord that's closer and deeper than they ever could have imagined. And so I get that from your book, and definitely going through it personally, you know, like you said, there are stories in your book and in the process, but one thing that really sticks out for me is your book is interactive. Right. And so I don't want to give too much away, but I think it's important for people to hear that it's interactive. So it's not just you just read a story and answer a question. Right. And not saying that, but that sometimes I've been in groups where it's felt that way. And that works for some people. But for me, I like to be involved and get and be interactive. And so it was definitely a good fit for me. And so I have to speak to a little bit of this virtual. Right. We're all you mentioned COVID. And so we've all entered into this. I know for Support After Abortion, all of our groups are done virtually. But we've had some people ask in the past, well, what about these books? Because your other authors have interactive parts in them as well. How is that working virtually, in the sense of this interactive or doing these I don't want to give it away, but like the different acts and things that we do in the group, how has that worked virtually? Has that worked for you?
I will say this much. We call them personal activities, and it is interactive in that what we know from brain science is that I'm a big brain science geek. And one of the things we know is that we need to involve both hemispheres of the brain, which is not just talking, but doing. So having that interaction or that action of some way, shape, or form to help connect the hemispheres of the brain to be able to truly heal and dig deeper pathways. And it helps to just really learn and understand the concepts that you're trying to learn. And so I feel like the activity is important. And so that's a really great question regarding virtual. And I was in the middle of facilitating a group when COVID hit, and we had to transition the group to virtual. And I will say, I'll be the first person to say, I was, oh, how do we do these activities virtually? And I was really concerned about it. But, you know, God is faithful. And he started giving ideas. And so we were able to think of different creative ways to make it work. You know, a lot of it was... you're able to, you know, the book is written in such a way that the activities could be done by an individual if somebody went through it with just maybe one other support person. So I sort of went back to that way of doing things. You know, there's also a facilitator companion that gives ideas for a group setting. And, but we use different pieces of technology. I'll just give one really little piece idea that, so there's a place in the book where we give an invitation from, in the group, there's an invitation given from Jesus. And we usually give that to them in person and they can RSVP. Well, there's a wonderful new technology called there's like e-vites and paperless posts and all those types of things. And so we turn the invitation into a virtual one. But we were able to modify the activities to be able to be done together in a group. And since we are virtual, you know, we can still see each other. And that's the most important part, is we can see each other as we perform these activities together and show each other, you know, what we have and what we've done and what we are doing. And I think that, again, brings that supportive element as well, that belonging that we so need.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been lucky enough to use your book in some of our virtual groups. We use multiple different curriculums, but we've done our virtual groups with your book. And I know that Karen had conversations with you even when we started doing this about like, how do we do these interactive things? And we found a way to do those. And so if you have any questions, we would love to help you with that. If you want to, you know, get more information on her book, on Wendy's book, you can go on our website. I mean, we have trainings and all of that. And so there is a way to do it, and it's still feeling like we're connected, and it's still very much personal. And so I just wanted to speak to that quickly. And thank you, Wendy, because I know this virtual thing, this whole COVID, it's been a ride for everybody. And so just being able to understand that you're not the only one that had that look like, oh, how are we going to do this, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we can do this. And God always makes a way. And we know that. And we have that understanding and reassurance from him. And so another thing that really, for me, and when I say interactive, you know, we do a memorial service type at the end to where we honor your child. And we got to do that virtually. And it was really neat. Karen told me about it. It was a group that she was doing. Or that she was a part of. And so they actually, we have a church nearby that they have a garden that they've done for us and others that facilitate groups for after abortion care. And in there, they plant and memorialize the your child that you, well, for me, that I chose to have an abortion. And so in that, they had a tablet. And so they brought the tablet to the garden for the woman that was in on the East Coast. And then we had, luckily one of them was local, so she got to be there. But even on the tablet, I mean, the woman was blown away. And she said, you know, I remember Karen telling me, like, she felt that she was present and it was honoring for her. And so there's a way to do this, and definitely. And so I want to jump even to that, you know, having that memorial service for me was like that closure piece, and being able to honor my child. And so I don't know for you that how important that was to add in your book, right? To have that where we're honoring the life that we had. I don't know if you want to speak to that at all. But that's just kind of something that came up for me.
Yeah. I think most books, curriculums, whatever you want to call them out there, do a memorial because it is so important. But I like that you asked this because, at one point we had a woman who moved to this area and started volunteering with us, wanted to volunteer with me. And, as we started going along, I came to realize that even though she had gone through a healing journey in the town where she was originally from, they had never done a memorial. And so she had never memorialized her child. So when I was talking about this, she was so sweaty. What? She was so confused because she had never done that. And so, and this was in a training for facilitators. And so I talked with the other people in the training class, and we decided to have a memorial for her, have a service just for her to be able to honor her children. But we also didn't want her to feel awkward. So we opened it up to anybody who maybe knows someone who has never been able to honor their child, or has never really acknowledged their abortion story. And we gave candles for everybody to light. She had a specific type of candle. Everybody else had tea lights, and everybody lit a candle or a tea light. And she was able to honor her child as well in a very specific way. And she said afterwards that it made a huge difference to her in her healing journey. And it just huge difference. And so just hearing her personal experience was amazing to hear that she had a level of healing, but adding that to it just exponentially with her journey. So I'm a huge believer in it, partly because of that.
Mm. Yeah, it was and there were many parts in that book. I know you asked me before that question. I don't know. I guess I'll answer it now.
Okay.
The memorial. Yeah, I guess I'll jump in, but the memorial service, yes, that was pivotal. And like I had, you know, there's breakthroughs throughout the entire journey when you're going through a healing group of any kind. Right. But the one that really, for me, in going through transforming your story, there's multiple times you asked to write letters of some sort there was a part in the book, there's the place where you asked to write a letter from God or to that we had, I know for mine, it was writing a letter to me, from Jesus, that like he had my child, and like it kind of, you know, talked a little bit about, just the things to expect, like that hope, that mm-hmm. understanding that I will see my child one day, you know, and kind of in there. Anyway, you need to go through the book because I don't want to give too much away about it. But anyhow, in my letter, what it was for me is I went home. I'm not a writer. I don't enjoy writing. Well, I didn't, right? God's been working on me and showing me that, you know, I'm not, maybe not a writer, but I do enjoy writing now. But at that time, I was going through a lot of things. And so writing wasn't my thing. I didn't like it. I actually remember Karen Barbito, our director of programming and expansion, actually led my first group. And I remember telling her, I don't write, and I didn't want to do it, you know, and I'm just being honest. This is what it was like for me going through my first healing group. I didn't want to do it. So there were a lot of points throughout it where I was resistant. And so I went home, and it was the day before my group, and I still hadn't wrote this letter, right? And I was like, oh, okay, fine, I'll do it, but whatever. And I didn't really want to. And so I ended up pulling out my laptop and I typed it up, and I didn't even remember what I wrote. Like, I just went through it real quick and thought, oh, I'll just make it look, going through the motions, right? That's really what I was doing. And not even, you know, it's not that I didn't care, but I was scared. And so I get to class the next day, and I had printed off the letter. And of course it was my turn to read it. And I'm like, ooh, I hope that, I don't know what this is going to be like, because I don't even remember what I wrote. And so I'm reading it, and it's this letter from God. And it really was a letter from God. And we had to write it for someone else. Or we were asked to write it for someone else. But as I was reading it, this was not for someone else. Like, this was a letter for me. And I remember I was bawling, and I'm really not an emotional person. And so that was like very, you know, a really big breaking point for me. And I remember looking up to the girl that I was reading it to and saying to her, this is for you, but this is really for me. Like, not to offend you. Like, I know this was supposed to be for you, but like, this is for me. And Karen, and it was an amazing moment, because not only was it for me, it was for her as well. And so she was able to take that letter. And now I still have a copy of that letter. And so it was like really totally a letter from God that was saying, you know, these are the promises you have, and I have your child, you know, and you're going to be with your child again. And these are the things. And anyway, it was a moment I will never forget, because I really encountered God in a whole nother way that I had never encountered before. And I was able to really understand the promise of being able to be with my child and how important her life really was, even as short as it was. And so for me, that was the pivotal breaking moment. And so writing that letter and writing these letters and actually doing these activities, I mean, it really truly isn't just like what I thought, just check it off. Okay, well, I did this one and I did this one, you know, and granted, I did that a couple times and I needed to, but when I got to this part, God's like, no more. Like, you need to wake up. This isn't a joke. We got to figure this out, because he knows how I am, right? And so that's exactly what happened for me. And so that was my memorable time, was that letter that I wrote.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I really find that that's true, that the reading of the letter after we write it is so important. And again, there's some brain science behind that as well, but it's so important. Even if we just read it out loud to ourselves, you know, if we're so uncomfortable, we won't do it in the group. Okay. But just to even read it out loud, even to ourselves, you know, for me, a big piece of it was the anger portion. I had a lot of anger. I was very much a blamer, with my journey. And so it was the writing, but then the reading of a letter and just the breaking. Because as I read it and heard, you hear from God as you do that, right? As you're reading it, you're not only seeing what you wrote, but then you're like, I felt like I could hear him saying, okay, but why are you holding this? Like, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. So that was, that's to answer your question. And I mean, it really did. It was the first time that I think that I really fully surrendered. You know, I was holding so much anger and shame and guilt. And I feel like that's what a lot of people, they hide behind that, right? They don't want to face a lot of things because it's scary. And because it's going to make them feel, and we don't want to feel those things. And right. So I was that extremely angry, resistant person that you probably dread that walks into one of your groups. Like, that was me. You know, I was just like, this is pointless. I'm not doing it. But I can tell you, even those people that you feel, and who knows if they felt that about me, but I probably would have if I was me or leading that group, like, they're not a lost cause, no matter how much anger there is. And so being able to continue in those groups with those types of people, let me tell you, I know it can't be easy. And it's not. I've experienced it now myself, right? Leading groups right. here and there. But it is possible, and everyone deserves to have that freedom. And I got to tell you, Wendy's book is so good. And again, I know, and it holds a special place in my heart, but that's just, I mean, really, if you haven't read it, if you haven't looked at it, you need to buy it and you need to go through it. But so what's next, Wendy? Like, what are you kind of doing now? I mean, you lead groups with your book, right? Locally, now virtually, right? Anything in the works? What's going on in your world?
Okay, really quick, I do want to say that one of the important things for me too about the book is that this was done through the Capital Pregnancy Center. And so anytime somebody buys a book, every cent of it goes to the center and benefits and supports the center. I don't make money on it. You know, some people say, oh, you're hoping to make money on your book. No, first of all, books on this topic don't go flying off the shelf. Let's just be really honest. It would be great if it did, just because people need it. We know how many people are in need, but it supports the center. So I love that. I love that I can say that with joy, knowing that it's, so when you say what's next, you know, to me, that's part of the what's next, is that it will continually benefit someplace that will continually benefit other people. So that will not, and no matter what, you know, and I'm really grateful for that. I think it's really awesome, and I'm grateful for the center too, you know, that we could do that. So that's cool. And now I'm also, as you know, facilitating Unraveled Roots groups with Support After Abortion. And I'm facilitating right now a group, and I'm really enjoying it. It's so nice to just sometimes, I have a heart for more than just abortion recovery. Personally, it is about healing and help, inspiring people to live a transforming story of hope, whatever that may be. I have an affinity for the downtrodden, the outcast, the walking wounded, and so I love doing this roots group because it's people who often don't really think they need it, or maybe they kind of think, but they're not really clear. And I love that, you know, and I love being able to point people towards healing of some way, shape, or form. You know, as I've said, my journey includes a variety of different types of things that I've needed healing from. There's layers, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it just all melds so beautifully that we can go from one to the next to the next. Some people need to deal with their abortion recovery first. And then they need to deal with something else in their life, whether it's addiction or whatever, or codependency. Some people need to deal with the addiction first, or the codependency first. And, you know, but I think, you know, just to continue moving through the layers, and I'm a big proponent of doing that. So, So I guess I just love healing of all sorts and helping others with that. Yeah. And just helping people with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and definitely because, you know, and even that Support After Abortion, we always say, like, it's not just one and done. You know, it's not just all encompassing one topic. I mean, and for me and my story, what I can speak to is my abortion was a symptom of so many other things. Mm-hmm. And Unraveled Roots is really that starting point for all those other things that were underlying, right? And so that's something that it's a continued process. Healing is a journey. It's called a journey for a reason. And everyone's looks different. And I love that you said that, because that it is true. Some people have to do this first or have to end up this first, and God knows, you know, where you have to begin. And so, and for me, it was my abortion. And so, but since then, whew, it's been a lot more. So, again, if you're struggling, we have virtual groups available, like Wendy said, on our website, supportafterabortion.com, under our resources, our virtual groups there. We have abortion recovery, unraveled roots, codependency, sexual trauma, miscarriage loss, all of those things. And so we have a place that we can put you. And if we can't, we want to find someone who can. And so we can't take on every single person, and we don't want to. We have a network of database of over 1,500 different pregnancy centers or after abortion care programs that we will and want to refer out to. And so just know that we are here to help you if you are struggling. And so with that, Wendy, is there anything else you'd like to say or add? For those who are listening, if any of this triggered anything, I mean, we have a hope line, but could you, you know, give words of encouragement, anything like that?
Don't give up. Don't give up, because God does always have something more for us. Just find something, just start the journey somewhere, even if it's faltering, you know, little steps, big steps, he will guide, you know, just start somewhere. And go from there, because he will just continue to show you and reveal for you. And I also encourage people that after you finish one level of healing, whether it's roots or abortion recovery or whatever, consider going to another, or, you know, find some way to get connected to other people, because community is so very important. I know we do an aftercare, we have an aftercare group with our center where after women finish the journey, we stay together and we continue to get together on a regular basis for the purpose of encouragement and support and growth. We are called to that as believers, you know, to continue to meet together. And whether it's virtual or in person, it can be done. So keep going, find that hope.
Yeah. Thank you, Wendy. That's so good. Keep going. And know that there are many, and we're here to help you. Again, our hope line, if anything triggered you today, if you find yourself struggling emotionally after an abortion experience or any kind of pregnancy loss, please give us a call. We want to help you. We'll make sure to put up our hope line number. And also, if you're interested in our virtual groups, please go to our website, supportafterabortion.com. We would love to get you connected. Thank you so much, Wendy. It has been great. I always love speaking with you. And again, if you haven't looked in at her book, go take a look at Transforming Your Story by Wendy Giancola. It's one of my favorites. And so I will talk to you later, Wendy, and we will see you all again.
Awesome. Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you for joining us today. If you or someone you know has been impacted by abortion, you are not alone. Contact us today at supportafterabortion.com. If you were inspired by today's message, we welcome you to join the conversation by following us on Facebook or Instagram.